The Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. And Ryan, National Signing Day, at least the early one, has come and gone, and there was no Signing Day social this year.
Don't worry, folks. It's still going to be happening. It just didn't happen in December. The plan is, from the folks at the Goal Line Club, it's going to be happening in February. So if you want to be on the lookout for that, to make sure that you can hear the head coach and talk to the other assistant coaches, it's going to be happening in February. More details will be released in the coming weeks. And to monitor that, make sure to go to goallineclub.org and click on events.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to my final podcast appearance of the year. As this is my last one, Luke, before I send it off into paradise. And oh, by the way, I meant to thank you. I got the mail today. And Luke gave me I was very confused, Luke, because it said like thermos something on it. And I looked at my lovely fiance. I was like, did you order something? And she was like, no. And I opened it up, and it is the nicest meat thermometer I've ever seen, Luke. So I want you to know my lovely fiance and I really appreciate it.
So, yeah, I take my kitchen gadgets really seriously. I don't buy a lot of them, but I take them very seriously. And, yeah, I spare no expense when I'm measuring the temperature of the very expensive, you know, meat I've just purchased. So, yeah, I'm glad you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy it. And you could walk outside now and see how instantly cold it is within about half a second.
Yeah, as we're recording this, it's pre-Christmas. We want to make sure we have this up before Christmas, before I just send it off into the ether and never am heard from again until after the honeymoon. But yeah, it's like negative 15 out tonight. It's one of those cold, cold, cold nights. And yeah, it's one of those nights where, Luke, I know you're thinking like I am. Boy, I hope my car starts in the morning, even though it's in the garage.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I started mine and didn't drive it just to make sure it started today. And yeah, bounce around Roseville a little bit just to keep her warm. All right, Ryan, we do have to put a disclaimer around these episodes. I think we do this often with bowls in general. In some ways, you can think of these almost as exhibition games, though they mean a lot more to most fan bases, and I think that's awesome. But especially in the day and age that we are now, you know, a lot of people won't play. Coaches have vacated jobs and already taken new ones, so they might not be here. A lot of that is going to transpire in this game, Ryan. No matter how much effort we put into it, it could all be wrong the second we kick off, is what I'm trying to say. So let's get some of the disclaimers out of the way first. We know that Syracuse's both their offense and defensive coordinator have left for other positions. So they'll have interim offensive and defensive coordinators. what other disclaimers should we put in here? Minnesota's entire coaching has already lost Kenny Burns, who moved on.
He's going to actually come back and coach in the
oh no way really
yeah
interesting
that
okay
one of the things that he wanted to make sure he did. If you didn't know this, Kenny Burns took the Kent State coaching job there, the Kent State Golden Flashes of the MAC conference.
I think
Kent State's located in Akron or just around Akron.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very happy for Kenny, obviously a very good running back coach, between developing and continuing to go with Rodney Smith, Shannon Brooks, and now Mohammed Ibrahim. I mean, he has done a very, very good job. We're very happy to see that, you know, Minnesota's got staff moving on. And PJ Fleck actually mentioned this, and I hadn't thought about it, because I know a lot of people have been asking me, what do you think Minnesota does with the running back coaching vacancy now? And I've been talking about that on Gopher Illustrated about a couple of names I've heard, and it's on there if you want to go check that out. But I didn't realize, because Fleck said it on his Wednesday signing day presser, that he has had three running back coaches in his, I think, 11 years as a head coach. And two of them are now head coaches in college football, and the third one will be here soon.
That's crazy.
So he had, I believe, Charles Huff was his first running back coach, who is now the head coach at Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Mike Hart, who is now at Michigan, who almost got the Western Michigan job. And now Kenny Burns, who was his last last running back coach, is now the head coach at Kent State. So as Fleck said, I would imagine this is going to be a very sought-after job, one that I wonder if we don't hear anything probably until the AFCA convention, but we'll see. So it's just a weird factoid that he's only had three running back coaches, but now two of the three are head coaches in college football,
and one
will be here probably in the next coaching carousel.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, from a coaching perspective, the only other coaching thing we probably should note, there might be other coaches that have left, but those are the only ones that I'm aware of. This is the Mark Coyle game, right? Dino Babers or Babers.
Yes, it is.
Hired both of these head coaches at their respective universities, PJ Fleck, University of Minnesota, and Dino Babers at Syracuse. So obviously there's an interesting storyline there if you want to roll down Ryan Burns' narrative street.
We love to take a good stroll down narrative street, especially in bowl games, Luke. You know, I'll get into some of that a little bit later, but not time to take a stroll. I'd take a run in bowl games if you're PJ Fleck.
Yeah. All right. So let's also talk injuries. I think the big one for Minnesota would be the quarterback position. The big question is, we see that Tanner Morgan's going to play in an all-star game. So does that mean he plays in the bowl game, Ryan?
My gut, and we just heard from Kirk Soraka here this week, and if you haven't read the quotes, he was asked about Ethan Kalik Manis' development, which I think he gave a great 2.5 minute answer. Those quotes are up on Gopher Illustrated for free. But he essentially tipped his hand. Sounds like Ethan's going to be the starter in this game, which I would agree with. But I would also say if and when Minnesota's winning in this game in the fourth quarter, you absolutely, if he's cleared, put Tanner Morgan into the football game to take the final snap at least.
Sure.
Has earned that in what is peace and love to the Pinstripe Bowl. It's the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, let that kid, for all the adversity he's gone through, both on the field and off the field during his time at Minnesota, the final snap of the Gopher football season this year, if Tanner Morgan is healthy, should be absolutely taken by Tanner Morgan. But I do expect Ethan Kalik Manis to start.
Yeah. All right. Any others that we expect are going to – well, obviously, we know Tyler Newbin's probably not going to play given his injury.
Well, it sounds like he will, actually. I think Minnesota's planning on having him – I think the broken wrist will be healed enough for him to play. But then it just becomes about opt-outs.
Yes.
And Kenny Burns is coming back. And where I was going with this earlier is Kenny Burns and Muhammad Ibrahim are incredibly, incredibly close. And part of the reason why Kenny's coming back to coach in this game – is because he wants to see Mo break David Cobb's single-season rushing record, and he wants to see him break Darrell Thompson's career rushing record, which, if my Tartan High education is correct, he's only 35 yards away from Cobb's single-season rushing record and 67 from Darrell Thompson's career rushing record, and they'll be going against a run defense that was 13th in the ACC in conference play. So I feel pretty optimistic that Muhammad Ibrahim is going to break some more records in this game. But for Minnesota, I'm going to be curious to see is John Michael Schmitz.
Yeah, I would kind of hope he opts out if personally, but just for his sake. But it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I don't know what to think there. I almost think that he won't play in this game, which I'm not wanting to. I mean, he's given everything. He came back for the extra year and was a huge part of the reason why Minnesota had as much success as they did. So if he doesn't play, I don't blame him 100 at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for Syracuse where they've had some issues.
Yeah.
Their best running back, Sean Tucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not going to play in this game. He had over 1,000 rushing yards, double-digit rushing touchdowns. Their best offensive lineman, Matthew Bergeron, he's not going to play in this game. And then defensively, their two best secondary members. And I would say this. So if you want to look at the Pro Football Focus grades, Sean Tucker is the third highest graded player on their offense, and Matthew Bergeron is the fourth. I mean, they're obviously very important players of that offense. And then defensively, Deuce Chestnut, which is on the all-name team for me, is the fifth rated player on their defense, while Jihad Carter is a very key member of their secondary as well, and he played a ton of snaps for him this past season. So he played over 540. Chestnut played 700. So they're going to be down a couple of key members of their secondary at least. Sounds like there might be another opt-out in their front seven as well from a key starter. So I will say again, it's a bowl game, and it comes down to, especially in one like this, who wants to be there. I don't know that there's a lot of Syracuse Orange that want to be there, so we'll find out.
All right, so let's preview quickly when the Gophers are on offense and what we can expect. On the season, the Gophers averaged 28.3 points per game. They averaged 404 yards of total offense, 185 of those through the air, 218 of those on the ground. Conversely, Syracuse is giving up 22.7 points per game, 338 yards of total offense, 188 through the air, and 150 of those, Ryan, come on the ground. So obviously the identity of this team all year has been Mo Ibrahim. I did it. Yes, I got it. Mo Ibrahim.
In his final game, you finally got Muhammad Ibrahim.
Finally got it. So, and given the records, and we know how this staff chases records, I imagine it'll be a heavy dose of Mo early and often.
I think he plays the whole game. I know some people may disagree with that, but I'm going to let Muhammad Ibrahim go out how he wants. And if he wants to play the whole game, I'm going to give him as many carries as he wants. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is the 13th ranked run defense in the ACC, one that struggled certainly at times. This is a Syracuse Orange team that started 6-0, and then they ended the season 7-5. So what happened? Their defense fell off the table. They allowed 32 points on average in their final six games. And the biggest thing, and Shiraka talked about it with the media, is it's going to be, if Minnesota wins this game handily, it's going to be because they're big boys up front. We're big boys up front against an ACC run defense. And that's where the Syracuse front seven does a lot of stunts, a lot of twists, different things like that. They're smaller, more athletic. And so if that gives these guys issues up front, it might be a longer day for Minnesota. But if they can get to the second level and get their hands on these smaller ACC defenders, I think Mo might have a big day in Yankee Stadium. But I would also say that I hope Minnesota, you know, still attacks through the air, because the weather forecast for this game actually looks pretty good. It looks like it's going to be low to mid 40s for those of you going out to New York City. No wind to be really speak of. And when you're going against a secondary that's got arguably its two best players out for this game, yeah, I would hope that if Syracuse is just going to decide to load the box, that you let Ethan throw down the field to the Daniel Jacksons and Lemeke Brockingtons and Brevin Span Fords of the world. So, again, to me, it comes down to this. Can Minnesota's offensive line handle a smaller, more athletic Syracuse front seven? And if they can, I think Minnesota's going to have a great opportunity to put up 28, 31, 34 points in Yankee Stadium. If they struggle and Ethan's constantly on the move and Mo has nowhere to go, well, this thing might get a little bit more interesting.
The Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, as we said off the rip, there was no signing day social here for the early period, but do not worry, Gopher fans. There will be a signing day social later in the year. There is a signing day window. Is it a window, Ryan, or is it actually
it's the second signing day, which will be that
the final one,
Wednesday of February. So it was postponed to February. The staff wanted a little bit more time to kind of catch their breath. They'll be able to talk maybe about some more transfers that Minnesota brings in potentially in that fourth to eighth window. So there will be one. It will be in February. Make sure to monitor, especially in mid to late January, goalineclub.org. Click on events to make sure you don't miss it. If you want to hear the head football coach and the assistant coaches talk about this recruiting class and where they see going forward. So once again, goalineclub.org, and make sure you monitor the events page.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. Ryan, on the season, the Gophers are giving up 13.3 points per game, 279 yards of total offense, 173 of those through the air, 105 of those on the ground. Conversely, and remind me if this number sounds familiar, Syracuse is averaging 28.3 points per game, Do you know why, Ryan? That sounds familiar. Because it's exactly the same amount as the Gophers.
The Minnesota scoring per game, Luke?
Yes. They are averaging 366 yards of total offense, 223 of those through the air, and 142 of those on the ground, Ryan. As you noted, they will be without their starting running back, Tucker. He has opted out of this game. He was a 1,000-yard rusher with 11 touchdowns on the season. How do you think this Gophers defense will have to, or what will they have to neutralize in this offense? I have to imagine it's going to be the passing game.
It's going to be the quarterback, Garrett Schrader. He is their number one guy on PFF. He's got a great grade of 87, and he's their second leading rusher with a bullet. Now, I don't know what Syracuse is going to decide to do because, as Luke mentioned, both of their coordinators left for different jobs. So they have interim guys filling in. Now, it's going to be the same system, different wrinkles, different tendencies. But Garrett Schrader is now healthy. He got banged up towards the latter half, which has probably played a big part in why Syracuse lost five of their last six games, but he is a running quarterback. He's got 135 carries, and I believe he only played in 11 or 12 games. So they're going to use him in the run game probably 10 to 14 times here, especially without Sean Tucker. Now, I don't know what Syracuse is going to turn to because Tucker was their leading running back. He had 206 carries, and the next leading rusher had 26. So if they do go to their number two, it looks like it's your favorite running back for the Syracuse Orange, LaQuint Allen, who's averaging nearly 7 yards per carry. He's got a 90-yard touchdown in there. But I will also mention they're going to be without their best offensive lineman, which is also the left tackle, Matthew Bergeron. So the question becomes this. If I'm Joe Rossi, and I know that they're going to be without their best running back, I have to stop the quarterback. Now, their main pass threat is a slot receiver by the name of Andre Gadsden II. As I said, a slot receiver. So it's going to be interesting to see what Minnesota does there because obviously Michael Dixon no longer with the team. He's going to Rutgers. Is it going to be Darius Green? Are we going to see Beanie Bishop, Ryan Stapp? But it's going to be the slot where if Minnesota gives up points, it's going to be to Gadsden because Schrader looks to him early and often. But you have to make sure for Minnesota's pass rush that you don't get too deep, that you don't allow him to break the pocket and escape. You have to make sure that you contain him. So if I'm Joe Rossi's defense, one that had been playing pretty well to end the season, now they get a month to rest up. Like I said, I expect most of the guys on defense to play. Sounds like Mariano's going to play. Tyler Newbin will be back alongside Jordan Howden, and then we'll see if Darius Green's going to be in the slot. But keep Schrader in the pocket. Try to neutralize whatever run game that they do have without Tucker, and then make sure that you guard number 19, Gadsden.
Yeah, you know, too, you say that, and it reminds me Braylon Oliver has moved on as well. So we'll probably see it. Yeah, we'll see a heavy dose of Cody Lindenberg here. And, I mean, he won that job out towards the end of the season anyway.
Yeah, so you'll be seeing a lot more probably Donald Willis, maybe a little bit of Josh Awney in his final game before he moves on to life after football. Maybe that gives him some reps here in the bowl game. But, you know, I would also mention Austin Booker and Gage Keys are both going to Kansas to meet up with Kai Thomas and Doug Emelian. So the connection there being Jim Panagos, former Minnesota D-line coach, is now the Kansas D-line coach. But if they can neutralize Schrader, they're going to win this game. That's as simple as that.
All right, Ryan, you know, we don't have an ad here, but we're going to do a shameless plug for our good friend Derek Burns here in Dinkytown Athletes. You know, Dinkytown Athletes is supporting all student athletes in NIL endeavors. They have exclusive content, a lot of it actually, that's available with individual athletes. Some great interviews there with the likes of Lamecki Brockington. You know, obviously Ja Joyner is also on there. But make sure that you become a member today. They have memberships available. You can even gift a membership if you're running low on ideas and you need something in a pinch. It's a great way to support student athletes, and most importantly, it's a way to get some awesome content as well. All right, let's get to the facts and figures for the game, Ryan. This is a December 29th game at 1 p.m. Central. This will be played in New York. New York, actually the Bronx, if you want to get more specific, in Yankee Stadium. And frankly, Ryan, like you said, the weather's looking good. I'll get to that in a second. But right now on the season, the Syracuse Orange are 5-7. We should note that they started off the season actually quite hot. They won literally, let's see, 6 games in a row and then proceeded to lose 5 in a row before winning their last game against Boston College. They had some decent wins against Purdue, you know, NC State, when they were ranked 15th, they played Clemson close. But, you know, the wheels kind of fell off as the season went on. And as you noted, their defense kind of let them down. And the Gophers come into this game 8-4. Now, on the season against the spread, the Orange are 6-6. The Gophers are 5-7. Currently, the spread for this game, Ryan, has moved drastically since it opened at about 6.5. It's currently 9.5 in favor of the Gophers with an over-under of 42. Pretty significant move, but I think it makes sense given the changes that have happened for the Orange throughout the season, losing their coordinators and the opt-outs. And then just a real quick look at the weather. For this 1 o'clock kick, if you're on the East Coast, it's going to be a 2 o'clock kick. The weather is really going to be pretty decent. It's going to be about 40 degrees. Like you said, wind isn't going to be a factor. Not a lot of chance for precipitation as well. It's going to be about 40, actually ending probably somewhere around 41, maybe even 42 with the sun setting about 4:37. So you'll end up in the dark, but man, not a bad day to watch football when you consider the fact that you're going to be in the Bronx, New York.
Could be a lot worse. Now, I'll be down in the Florida Keys for this game. I won't be in New York, New York, but Ryan James will be out there covering it for Gopher Illustrated. But it could be a lot worse. You know, the thing that I would note, because no one cares except the media, it's an outdoor press box.
Is it really? That's amazing. I guess it's a baseball press box.
I've already started to hear the gripes of, well, we're going to find out how my computer holds up and how well people can type in 40 degrees out there in the Yankee Stadium press box. I get the novelty of the baseball stadium as someone who went to Arizona last year and watched in the Diamondbacks. I don't enjoy it personally. Like, I would rather just sit where I normally do and watch a game where I actually have a good vantage point. But
yeah,
for those of you going out to New York to probably spend some time out there around Christmas and New Year's, enjoy.
All right, so Ryan, let's get to your keys to the game for this. How are the Gophers going to find success in another, I think this is going to be, what, the fourth consecutive bowl victory?
I think Flex 3-0.
Yeah, so I think it would be 4-0. How do they get to 4-0, Ryan? What are those keys?
It's going to be an abbreviated keys in this episode, folks. Number one, just show up. Yeah. It sounds so bowl simple game in theory, but like, you're going to watch a lot of bowl games by the time you're listening to this through New Year's, where you're going to think to yourself, how did that team beat that team?
Right.
Well, one team probably wanted to be there. One team probably didn't. One team probably had a lot of opt-outs. The other one didn't. And if you can say anything about a Fleck team in a bowl game, whether it's been the Quick Lane Bowl or the Outback Bowl, Fleck's gotten his guys ready to play. So I would say this. Make sure that you want to be there. Make sure you show up on December the 29th, because you're going to be going against a Syracuse team that has been mentioned has lost their offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, their best running back, their best offensive lineman, and two of the best players in their secondary. Be there. Get Syracuse down. And if that's going to happen, I'll mention again on offense that it's going to come down to the offensive line, making sure that they do a good job of communicating among stunts and twists. This is going to be a smaller front than what they're used to going against Big Ten competition. It's a different league. That means different defenses and different skill sets. They're smaller, more athletic, probably a little bit faster. And you have to make sure that you get at your head on a swivel, because Mo Ibrahim will be playing in this game, like I said. Mm-hmm. He needs 35 yards to beat David Cobb's single-season record, 67 for Daryl Thompson's career rushing record. And you know that the staff knows it. I know it. You know it. Mo knows it. Fleck knows it. Kenny Burns knows it. Everyone knows it. He's going to get the ball early and often. But if they just load the box, Luke, let Ethan throw. And let him test some of those backups in for Syracuse. And then defensively, I mentioned it, you have to slow down Garrett Schrader. He's going to run the ball quite a bit, I would imagine, especially in a game like this where they're without their best tailback and his blindside protector, who's off to the NFL, and Matthew Bergeron. So if you can neutralize Garrett Schrader and you can find a way to win in the trenches up front, I feel very confident in Minnesota being able to cover the spread.
All right, so let's get to our predictions. Again, the Gophers are currently a 9.5-point favorite as we record this on Thursday, December 22nd. That line obviously could move as there's basically a week until this game is played. The over-under, again, is 42. Just real quick for me, I think the Gophers find a way to win this victory again. And like you, I really hope that Tanner Morgan gets to kneel this thing out. I think that would be a great way to cap off a career for him. Unfortunately, this season was fraught with adversity for him. But, you know, he's been very successful at the University of Minnesota, the all-time winningest quarterback. That's the way I like to see them go. Real quickly, just going into my prediction, some things that stand out to me, at least on the advanced stats side, you know, defensively has been a struggle for Syracuse, and their EPA per rush, you know, obviously we know the Gophers run the ball particularly well, and that's where they focus, is ranked 106th in the country. Their echo rate's 90th. In the end, their defense is really what's let them down, especially on early downs, first and second. They tend to give up pretty high chunk plays. So look for the Gophers to have success there early in rushing. And I do suspect if they are able to run the ball early, they might just take the air out of it and find a way to win. It might be low scoring. So I will go Gophers 23. I will say the Orange, I'm going to go 13.
I was about to say Minnesota's defense in their last five games has not allowed more than 16 points in any of them. And with essentially, I believe, all of them playing in this game, unless Syracuse has got some new hoodwink six system and some weird wrinkles, which is entirely possible. It's a bowl game. But I'm with Luke. I think this is going to be the Mo send out game where Mo runs for 150 yards, two touchdowns. You know, you see some explosive plays through the air, but this is going to be kind of a nice send-off for one of the best players to ever wear a Gopher football jersey before he heads off to the NFL. So I will say that Minnesota wins this game 27-17. I would say Joe Rossi's not going to be happy that he gave up 17 points, but at the end of the day, you just want to win the bowl game, and that would put Minnesota at 9-4. That would say that's their third 9-win season in the last 4 years. But I just don't have enough faith that Syracuse is going to be able to slow down Mo Ibrahim. They may be able to put up some points with Garrett Schrader, who's definitely a different flavor of quarterback compared to what Minnesota's gone against this year. But I have too much faith in what I assume is going to be a fully healthy Mo Ibrahim, because he'll have 3.5-4 weeks to get that ankle right.
Yeah.
And I think he's playing in this game for a reason, mm-hmm. and that's to go off on the next exclamation point.
All right, let's take a real quick look at the Big Ten bowl games. Ryan, I want you to guess, what is the cheapest bowl game to get into? And I'm not expecting you to know this now, because I'm going to go through each of them, and at the end I want you to pick for me. First on the first bowl game on Tuesday, December 27th, will feature Wisconsin.
For Big Ten games is what we're talking about,
just
right?
Big Ten. Yep, okay. Just Big Ten games. It's going to have Wisconsin at Oklahoma State. They're going to be playing down in Phoenix, Arizona, for the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, which the Gophers played in. Again, this is a late one on ESPN. I really do think that this is a fairly evenly matched game. Wisconsin is a 3.5-point favorite, which I found a little bit surprising. I think this should be interesting, you know, given, you know, Leonard will be going out.
Graham Mertz isn't there.
Yeah.
He's now at Florida. I think Spencer Sanders, their quarterback, also hit the portal.
Yeah.
So it's whose backup quarterback wants to be there? Is Braylon Allen healthy going against an Oklahoma State defense?
Yeah,
not sure.
Chase Wolf at quarterback. Yeah, it should be interesting.
Gross.
Okay.
Used to love the Chase Wolf, but gross.
Gophers obviously play Thursday, December 29th. And then Friday, December 30th, features Maryland against North Carolina State in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. This is an 11 a.m. kick on ESPN. The over-under... I actually can't find one right now. What the heck? But the over-under is 47, but doesn't have a spread. Is it a pick'em? Oh, weird.
The biggest thing about this game that's most important, Luke, is both coaches have agreed that the winner... So
we'll
for those
take
of you
the,
don't know,
the Mayo bath. Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
The winning coach traditionally gets an entire Gatorade tub of mayo dumped on him, and both coaches have agreed that if their team wins, they'll take it.
That's amazing.
So if you're looking for something to watch Friday, December 30th, I'd tune in to ESPN around 2 p.m. for the tail end of this game just to watch a grown man get a ton of mayo dumped on him willingly with consent.
All right. Okay, let's get to New Year's Eve. Iowa is going to play Kentucky on ABC at 11. This is the Music City Bowl. The over-under for this game is 31, Ryan, with Iowa favored by 2.5.
I think it's a perfect
cap to a very interesting Iowa season. The Cade McNamara era begins shortly. I think we'll just leave it at that.
Isn't this the same game from last year?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. They played last year. It is. Yes. It's a rematch.
I have no faith in Iowa being able to beat Kentucky.
All right. So now let's get to the interesting playoff
interesting
games.
Events at 3 p.m. on Saturday, December 31st. Are you talking about my wedding?
Yeah, exactly. So during your wedding, Ryan, as you know, I did decline. I apologize. I won't be there. So Michigan,
hold it over you forever. It's fine.
13-0 Michigan takes on 12-1 TCU. It's a 58.5 over under with Michigan favored by a touchdown and a half. I think that sounds fair. I am interested in this specific game to see how this TCU offense does against this Michigan defense. And man, I'm just really bummed that Blake Corum isn't going to be able to go.
I'm excited to watch the Joe Moore winning offensive line for Michigan, a.k.a.
Right.
the best offensive line unit in college football, go against TCU and see if Donovan Edwards can pick up where Blake Corum left off.
Yep.
If Michigan can establish the run and get their play action game going with J.J. McCarthy like they did in that final game of the season, it's going to be a tough sledding for what was my Heisman pick at number one in Max Duggan. But for those of you who are going to be watching this game, that's what I'd be looking for.
All right. Then we've got Ohio State taking on Georgia at 7 p.m. This game is a 62 over under with Georgia favored by 6.5. Obviously, this high octane Ohio State offense is going to be down, some weapons, but you know, they just fill it back in, it seems like, every time. I think I saw Travion Henderson isn't going to play. The stud receiver that seemed to have a
Jackson Smith and Jigba,
yeah, he seemed to be injured all year.
Yeah.
But yeah, this will be interesting. I think I just think Georgia's probably too good. But yeah, and maybe a full strength Ohio State, I think it'd almost be a pick 'em. But you never know. You know, CJ Stroud could just get real hot. But I don't know. Marvin Harrison Jr. has been a stud all season too. It'll be interesting to see how these guys match up.
Yeah, I'm excited to see CJ Stroud and Marvin Harrison against this Georgia defense, and I'm also curious to see how Ohio State's defense themselves responds after not a great end of the season. They allow 30 points to Maryland, and then Michigan hangs 45 on them with a ton of explosive plays.
Mm-hmm.
Can they limit can they make Stetson Bennett go 8, 10, 12 plays down the field and not have these explosive plays? Because there are going to be outstanding athletes everywhere on this field. But can Ohio State's defense limit the explosive plays? If they can, that's why the Buckeyes have a shot.
All right, then Monday, January 2nd, the first game is at 11. This is the, I'm not even going to try and say the bowl name, Kielo Quest Bowl. I've never even heard of that. But this features number 22 Mississippi State against Illinois. This specific game, the over under is 46 with Illinois favored by 1.
Yeah, it's it's heavy hearts for the Mississippi State Bulldogs with the passing of Mike Leach. We're going to see where they're at mentally. Can't blame them, whatever happens in this game. And then for Illinois, they lost their defensive coordinator to Purdue. Ryan Walters is now the head coach of the Purdue Boilermakers. They lost their running back coach today. They've lost, I think, a couple other coaches in this game. So we're going
to
see.
Head coach. That was Illinois. I was getting to Purdue too quickly.
Yeah, so that's where it's I don't know what to expect in a game like this, because Mississippi State here is a giant wild card, and as expected, as they should, you don't know what to expect in a game like this. You would imagine these kids are going to play their hearts up, but I also obviously think Illinois, now that they've had a month to recover and get healthy, if they want to be there, they're going to be dominant as well.
All right, next features number 17 LSU against Purdue, who is without their head coach, Jeff Brohm, who's moved on. You mentioned the defensive coordinator. Ryan Walters is now the head coach there, coming over from Illinois. Somehow Drew Brees mixes into this. Not really sure how, but this noon kickoff will be a over-under of 56 with LSU favored by 14. I really think that's fair. I heard Aiden O'Connell's not going to play. I think the tight end isn't going to play. I think Charlie Jones isn't going to play. So this is going to be a real tough sledding for Purdue.
I feel for Purdue, man. Just
Here's the one thing. People will say, well, see, this is how bad the Big Ten West was. It's like, that's not even their team. Like, there's going to be so many people gone, game. Including the head coach. You cannot say that's a valid data point.
So. Yeah, I think LSU runs away with this right. for all the reasons you mentioned, because it's like, how does Purdue potentially score enough points in this game? And I don't particularly think LSU's fantastic, but when they're going against the corpse of Purdue in this game, I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah. All right. Then the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl will feature Penn State against Utah. Love this matchup. This is the game I'm probably most looking forward to all bowl season, actually.
And for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Outside of college football playoff ones, this is the one I'm excited about.
Yeah. Even though I still am really excited about this one. This is going to feature the 10-2 Utah Utes, or 10-3 Utah Utes, against the 10-2 Penn State Nittany Lions. The over under is 52, and Utah is favored by 2.5. I think this will be a fantastic matchup. I think this is finally Sean Clifford's last game. I think
you're right. But this is, again, we think highly of Penn State on this podcast.
I think highly of Utah too, but yeah.
Yes. Again, this is a Utah offense, Luke, that has scored 42 or more points in 4 of their last 5 games. And this is a Penn State team that has obliterated everyone not named Ohio State and Michigan, more or less. Mm-hmm. You take out that Purdue game at the start of the season, they just have crushed everybody. So you have two teams that I think are legitimate tier 2 teams. I'm excited for this one.
I think it's a great matchup. Like you said, both average over 35 points a game. Both keep their opponents under 21. They both average 400 yards of offense. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It almost could be like that shootout that Ohio State and Utah had a couple of years ago as well. Really excited for this one as the Rose Bowl matchup. I think it's a great matchup. Yeah, I mean, otherwise, Ryan, I hope you have a wonderful wedding.
Me both.
Please don't text me. I don't want to hear from you at all.
It's just going to be weird to not, because I don't plan on watching the Gopher football game. Yeah. I've got some other wedding related stuff going on that Thursday. I've got a lot of people coming in that day.
When you get back, you and I can sit down and watch it together. You as a married man, we can.
Yeah. Me as a married man. It's going to be interesting. So,
all right.
Because you and Derek will be back to do a breakdown, right?
Yep. Derek and I are going to break it down. We haven't specified a specific date. Yeah. Dinkytown Athletes own Derek Burns is going to break it down with me. Looking forward to doing that. So I imagine that the download numbers will be significantly down, being that you won't be participating, Ryan. You will be missed drastically.
I would argue they're going to be significantly up, because I won't be interjecting Derek, which I know makes some people angry. But I just wanted to tell everybody two things. Number one, thank you. We did really well for numbers on this podcast this year.
Oh yeah.
We're almost at 1 million downloads, Luke.
Yes. It's ridiculous. From the first time you knocked on my door and came over and I was like, all right, you want to talk some football? And we had literally never met in person. And then we started talking, and we talked for like an hour and a half, to now we've done 283 episodes together. Now you're getting married, man. It's like, I've watched you grow in front of my own eyes. So
Yeah, it's interesting. So we want to thank you guys for listening all year. I would tell you guys again, if you want to join Gopher Illustrated, it's 50% off through the new year.
Yeah, that Paramount Plus thing works out in a pinch. You can even watch the new what is it, Top Gun Maverick?
Yeah, movie Top Gun Maverick's on there. So if you want to be a new member, it's 50% off. If you're a monthly member and you want to upgrade to annual, it's 50% off that. And as Luke mentioned, you get Paramount Plus right now if you were to sign up or upgrade for free.
Yep.
Included in your Gopher Illustrated subscription for as long as I know. So just wanted to plug that. But I also wanted to tell you guys, like I said, thank you. Whether you clicked on something that I wrote on Gopher Illustrated, just listen to this podcast today. We know it's a Gopher football team that has a pretty good job of raising your expectations and then just falling slightly beneath it. We know it's frustrating at times. We know that this podcast can be cathartic at times, but we thank you for listening to this podcast, Luke.
Yeah, again, hope to see you guys in February at the Signing Day Social event. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Gophers.